We just will tune into your voice, and we will listen to what you have to speak to us directly about what we need to do in our lives. And Father, I just pray, Lord, as we know our hearts belong to you, I just pray your presence will fill us right now. Oh, let it just come and flow deeply, powerfully upon our minds and our hearts, our souls and our spirits, because, Lord, our lives truly belong to you. We love you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen, amen, praise God. So we're continuing the sermon series called Power. You know, I got to tell you, as you know, a few months ago, my brother Walton was here to visit with his family. And I got to tell you, we had many opportunities to just talk, just to kind of, brother to brother and heart to heart. And, I look to him as my spiritual mentor. So I'm usually all ears when he gives me advice or counsel on how to become a better leader or a better pastor in our church. So, you got to understand, Walton's been a pastor for more than 25 years, I believe, and he has counseled many people in his congregation with abundance of problems, that come forth, because everybody going to have problems, but sometimes it seems like for some there's more than others, and we know sometimes my brother, he just has to listen and just give counsel from the Word of God. And, many come to him with a broken heart and hoping that the Word of God can help them and do something so that they don't have to carry around all of these burdens and all of these feelings of depression. And a lot of them, they have many failures that come along with it. It could be a failed marriage or a failed career, or it could be a failed relationship with a close friend or relative, or it could be a failed business opportunity. They come with their failures. And whatever it is, they now wish they had a second chance, a do-over, because sometimes we want a do-over. We want that chance to make it all better again. And most people, however, wonder if they can do it. They want the second chance, but in their minds, they're thinking, do I have the strength to start all over again? And sometimes they may say, I'm too old to go back to square one. Or they may say, I just don't have what it takes, to start all over. And sometimes, we tell them, you can. You just got to trust in the Lord. God will help you. But they sometimes will say, I'm just too broken, Pastor. I don't know if I can start all over again. And we know, we all make mistakes in our lives, but sometimes it just seems like our boo-boo is just too big. You ever felt like that? You made a huge problem and you're thinking, I don't know if this is fixable. I don't know if I can really, start again. And sometimes it seems like, we make the mistake and we're just living a life of regret. You guys ever, hold on to something for so long? It just seems like it's crushing you. And you're just filled with regret after regret. And it could be that you've done something in your past that you're very ashamed of. And sometimes we're so ashamed, we're thinking, I don't know if God's going to forgive me with this one. Or you may think, I don't know if God will even allow me to go into his kingdom. I don't know if I will be able to make it to heaven because of this huge mistake that I made. And sometimes we just wish that we could just erase, whatever, that certain part of our life where we just made huge mistake, and because we just felt like we disappointed God, we disappointed ourselves, we disappointed our families and our friends and so forth and so on. But God, he sees us and he knows our hurts, and he knows he will lead us, he will guide us if we just look to him. As a child, I used to play with this toy. You probably heard of it. It's called Etch-a-Sketch. You guys heard of that before? Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's still around. It's still? Oh, okay. And so this Etch-a-Sketch was this little red and gray drawing board. And I think it was filled with sand. Anyway, it looks like sand. I'm not sure what it is. But, basically, there were two knobs on the bottom of the screen. And you kind of, twist it around and you can draw a picture. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? But here's the thing. If you mess up, let's say, you just kind of like maybe made a line you didn't want. But what do you do? You guys remember? You just shake it, right? You just shake it, and then what happens? It all disappears, right? And then you got a clean screen. Guess what? You can start all over again. Don't you wish life was that simple? You make a mistake. Okay, I'm going to start all over. And then it disappears, and then you start again. And you get a chance to say, okay, let me try it again. You know, brothers and sisters, you know what the good news is? It is possible to start all over again. You know, when you made a huge mistake, you know, God will help you to start again. No matter how many failures you've had in your life, God can help you to start again. And we've been doing this sermon series called Power, as I said earlier. And this time we're on part 5, which is called God's Power to Help You Start All Over Again. Because sometimes, yeah, we need to start all over again. And the reason why it's called God's Power to Help You Start All Over Again, because sometimes we got to realize it is only within God's power and authority that He can help you to make a brand new start so that, you know what, your life will get back on track again. So that truly, guess what, it'll be even better than what it was before. So look at that question here. It says, with God's power, how can we start all over again? Well, look at number one. It says, with His power, all of our past sins are what? Erased with His mercy and His grace. And when it's erased, can you still see it? Nah, it's gone, right? And that's what it is. You may have past sins. You may have past mistakes. But when God erases, I mean, He uses a super, you know, effective eraser that it's totally gone. Because sometimes, you know, we erase like pencil marks. You still can see a little bit. No, but God got a special eraser with your mistakes and your sins. Once it's erased, it is totally gone. You can't even see it if you try to look close, right? And so in order to start all over, first of all, we've got to realize the quality of God's mercy and grace. So what do I mean by that? What do I mean by the quality of God's mercy and grace? Well, the very fact is, when He says He doesn't see anymore, He really means it. You know, because sometimes people, you know, say, but what if He will bring it up sometime in the future again? What if He will remind me of this? You know, what if I make the same mistake? You know, God really means it when He says it is no more. And you know, I got to tell you, a few years before I became a Christian, I remember this. I distinctly remember this crossed in my mind. The thought was this. You know, even if I become a Christian, you know, would God ever really love me or accept me into heaven? Because, you know, I really made some bad mistakes. I really had some sins in my life that were, I mean, I'm so ashamed of it. I just know that God would not want me to even enter into His house, you know, knowing some of the things I did. But, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking there's no way He would forgive me or forget my sins. But, you know, over the years, as I spent time in the Word of God, I realized, you know, God is a very loving, forgiving, and merciful God who takes no pleasure in punishing people. Because a lot of times people think this, that God loves to punish people, that God is ready to strike a person down when they are doing wrong or when they're doing something that is evil. But I realized, no, that's the total opposite. God, He wants to give us a second chance. He wants us to make things brand new, you know, if we allow Him to work in our lives. And, you know, God is not an unmerciful and unforgiving God. Instead, He is very merciful and He is very forgiving, and He does not enjoy punishing people. I want you to look what it says here in Ezekiel 33:11. Won't you read it with me? Ready? Go. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but what? Rather that they turn from their ways and live. So He takes no pleasure, He says, in the death of the wicked, because when the wicked are in the path of evil, you know, I mean, if they choose to stay on that path, yeah, eventually they're going to have that spiritual death. They'll be eternally separated from God. And God says, I take no pleasure in that. I want them to turn to me. I want them to receive the blessings that I have for them. If they look to me, if they can trust and trust their lives to me, I will take a hold of it and I will bless them. I want you to look what it says in Isaiah 43:18-19. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a what? A way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And sometimes we gotta forget you probably heard me use this verse many a times in the sermons where, you know, God is telling his people, forget. Because sometimes when we keep on remembering the mistakes and the sins we've done in the past, we can't go forward with God. And God says, forget them. Look, I got something brand new. Look, I got this pathway that will lead to so much of my blessings if you continue to walk the path I have set up for you. I'm making this way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I mean, it's going to be in places where you're not going to expect, you know, places where you're thinking, but look, everything is falling apart here. And God says, yeah, I know that, but I got a beautiful plan for you. This path will lead to my blessings. You know, one night in 1935, there was this mayor. His name is LaGuardia. So Mayor LaGuardia of New York showed up at a night court in the poorest section of his city. And the judge of that district, he had a reputation of being very jaded, being very mean and harsh in his sentences. And if you went before him, you knew that you would get the maximum sentence that the law allowed. So on this particular occasion, Mayor LaGuardia dismissed the judge for the evening and he took over the bench himself. He said, you can go home, I'm gonna take over. So one case involved this elderly woman who was caught stealing bread to feed her grandchildren. And so LaGuardia said, you know, after she pleaded guilty to the crime, he said to her, I have to punish you, $10 or 10 days in jail. And it was obvious she couldn't pay. She was very poor. So the judge, out of his own pocket, paid the fine for her. And he then, get this now, he then fined everyone in the courtroom 50 cents for living in a city where a person has to steal bread so that her grandchildren can eat. And the hat was passed around, and the woman left the courtroom with her fine paid, and guess what? There was an additional $47.50 in her purse. Wow. Can you imagine a mayor doing that, right? But solely out of the goodness of his heart, right, the mayor of New York helped this woman when she could not help herself. That is what you call grace. That is what you call love. I mean, really, that's what God shows to us. He gave her the opportunity to pay her debts and start all over again. Aren't you glad? You know, our God is like that. He is this kind of judge. He has mercifully paid our penalty for sin and has given us the opportunity to start all over again. Sometimes, yeah, we need to start all over and it's okay. Sometimes people, we get afraid, right? People say, but how can I start all over? Look at me, I'm just too, you know, far gone. I'm just too old or whatever the reason may be. But look what it says here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. It tells us he's rich in mercy. There's an overabundance of his mercy. No matter how many times we fail, God is merciful. Aren't you glad for that? Because if he wasn't merciful, oh boy, we'd be in a lot of trouble. I want you to look what it says in 1 Peter 1, 3. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been what? Born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. Once again, it is because of his great mercy that you are a follower of Christ. You're born again because of God's mercy. Because, you know, I'm sure, you know, we don't see it, right? But we know for a fact God, he made things happen or not happen in our life so that we can come to know him. Did you know that? The very fact he's directing everything because he cannot force you to be born again. He cannot force you to come to know his son, Jesus Christ, but he can make things happen in your life so that you will get on the right path towards him. You know, in Psalm 136, did you know 26 times the verse says, his loving kindness is everlasting. Just in that chapter alone, Psalm 136, it is spoken of 26 times that his loving kindness is everlasting. And we know, kindness and mercy are among the strongest qualities of the character of God. It's talked about a lot. You know, in the Bible, there are over 200 verses that describe the merciful nature of God. Imagine 200 verses that tell us God is merciful and he's kind towards us. You know, long ago, there was this poor woman from the slums of London, and she was invited to go with a group of people for a vacation at the ocean, and she never seen the ocean before. And when she saw it, she just started crying, you know, when she just, wow, she was just like in total awe of it. And those around her thought it was so strange, you know, that she would cry after such an enjoyable holiday had been provided for her. And so finally, one of them asked her, "Excuse me, ma'am, why are you crying?" And then she pointed to the ocean and she answered, "You know what? This is the only thing I have ever seen that there was enough of." And because you think about this, right? The ocean is so vast. You know, probably she lived a life where she never had much of anything at all. And she goes, "Wow, I just realized this is something that is so much more than enough." You know, it's just like, it's just beyond what she could ever imagine, you know? And so we gotta realize God has oceans of mercy and it will never run out. Because sometimes I hear people say, "But Pastor, how come God gotta be so mean to me? Has God stopped loving me?" I heard people ask me this question. And I said, if you look in the Bible, you know God's love will never run out. He's always merciful to you and to me. You know, even though it may not seem like it because things aren't going your way, doesn't mean he stopped loving you. You got to keep holding on to him. Keep trusting that God, he's going to show you his plan for your life if you just continue to trust in him. And you know, before we can start all over again, we got to rededicate our lives to God. And we got to realize and accept the quality of God's mercy. Once again, that means you got to realize he really means what he says. He really has forgotten. He really wants to give you another chance to make things right with him. I want you to look at point number two now. It says here, with his power, he will help us to start over by giving us another chance with the mistakes we already made. And we know, right, in the book of Jonah, you know, God wanted his prophet Jonah to go and preach against the city of Nineveh. But, you know, he was just kind of thinking, why would you want me to do that? He didn't want to fulfill that mission because he's thinking, these people are evil. Why, God, why would you want me to go there and try to, you know, get them to turn to you? And so what did he do? He fled from the Lord, he boarded a ship, and he sailed for Tarshish. But during that journey, if you guys remember, the Lord sent this great wind and on the sea, you know, that he was on with the other people, right? This wind just threatened to just break up the ship. So in order to save the ship, you guys remember what happened? The crew, you know, after discovering that the storm was Jonah's fault, right? What did they do? They threw him into the sea. Yeah. And so Jonah, he's drowning in the sea, and Jonah prayed to the Lord for help, and God sent what? This great fish, right? This huge fish that swallowed Jonah and eventually vomited him onto the dry land. I want you to look what it says here in Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Okay, it says the word of the Lord came to Jonah a what? A second time. Because the first time he said, "No way, I ain't going," right? But it came to him a second. God said, "Okay, you don't want to do it, forget you then," right? God could have done that. But no, why did God give him a second chance? You know, because the first time, yeah, Jonah did disappoint God. But God says, "No, I'm going to give you another chance here." And this time he didn't blow it. And you know, and we got to realize when we keep, you know, trying to dodge what God wants for us in our lives, the fact is you're not going to experience the blessings of God the way you want it. And a lot of times, you know, people, when they don't do what God wants them to do, and they just feel like, "Man, my life isn't improving. My life isn't getting better." You know, is God real at all? Has God forgotten me? A lot of times we realize the reason why our lives haven't gotten better because we're not doing what he wants us to do. And that's the honest truth. Come on. And I'm going to tell you, there are times in my life, you know, I kind of complained. I kind of wondered, God's forgotten me. But then if I really took the time to listen to his voice, I realized, you know what? I haven't been really obeying what God wants me to do. I've been making a lot of excuses, right? And when things don't go my way, I blame him. And we got to realize a lot of times, you know, when we do that, you know, God is going to keep on loving us. God is going to continue to guide us and lead us. But the fact is, there's going to come a time when we're going to just fall away from our faith because we think that God has forgotten us. But, you know, when he does give us a second chance, we can't keep looking back because that's what a lot of us do, right? When we know, okay, I'm going to take this second chance. I know God is giving me another opportunity. He's opening this door. But we realize we keep looking back, and but I remember what happened the last time. You know, oh, man, I remember it didn't go well for me. And we could have said yes. We said, Lord, I'm going. But then we keep looking back, and we kind of tell ourselves, we convince ourselves, no, I can't do it. And sometimes we kind of think to ourselves, I don't want to go back to that pain that I had before. I don't want to experience that again, so we don't go forward with the Lord. And the fact is, God is saying, come on, child, I'm guiding you here. Do you trust in me or not? I want you to look what God would tell us, you know, when we are at that point when we just don't want to move forward with him. Look what it says here in Philippians 3, 13 to 14. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. But one thing I do, what? Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And sometimes we got to forget what is behind. And you know what? It's still going to be a strain sometimes to go forward, right? Because we're kind of thinking, oh, I don't know. You know, even though you say, okay, I got my eyes fixed on Jesus, you kind of strain because guess what? There's still fear. There's still some anxiety. Come on, we have to be honest. Sometimes there's just kind of that wonder if actually, will it get better? And sometimes, you know, we convince ourselves, oh, it will never get better. But we know God, he will help us if you just continue to press on to him. You guys probably heard of Thomas A. Edison. You know, he was working on this crazy contraption called the light bulb. Yeah, he was the inventor of the light bulb. And it took a whole team of men 24 hours straight to put together just one light bulb. Can you imagine? Okay, now it's just like no problem, right? I mean, you get the machines to put it together, right? But 24 hours straight to make one light bulb. And the story goes that when Edison was finished with his one light bulb, he gave it to this young boy helper who nervously carried it upstairs, okay? And so, you know, step by step, this young boy cautiously watched his hand. You can tell he was so nervous, right? He was obviously frightened of what? Dropping this precious piece of work because he knew these men spent hours and hours working on it. And you probably guess what happened, right? By the time he got to the top of the stairs, a man, just out of probably anxiety and nervousness, he dropped the bulb and the bulb just splattered, right? It just shattered into many, many pieces. And it took the entire team of men another 24 hours to make another light bulb. Oh, how would you feel? You know, what if you were that little boy, right? You feel terrible. Oh, no, why did I do this to them, you know? So after they worked on it, you know, for 24 hours, you know, Edison, he was really tired and he was just worn out and he was ready for a break. And then guess what Edison did? Would you give this boy another chance to carry the bulb again? Well, Edison did. He said, come, young lad, I want you to carry the bulb upstairs again. And probably the young boy going, huh? You for real or what? You crazy. You know, I mean, really. I mean, imagine people giving us second chances like that. And for this young boy, I'm sure, you know, this time he made sure it wouldn't happen again, right? And yeah, sure enough, he brought it upstairs and it was no problem. I want you to understand, no matter what we have done in our past or what had happened in our past, the past is the past. You know, But done is done. You can't go back in time unless you're a time traveler. Is there anyone in here that's a time traveler? No, none of us can go back in time. So the best thing we can do is just keep going forward. But you're not going forward alone. You're going forward with God. Amen? And he will help you through this. And God is not interested in what we once were. Instead, he's interested in what we can become. You see that? He's not going to keep on looking at your past and say, yeah, you remember that? Look what you once were doing. Look what you once, you know, what kind of person you were in the past. No, God says, this is what I want you to become. As you trust in me, as you look to my word, you're going to become like my son, Jesus Christ. That's the whole idea. That's the whole plan of God, that we become more and more like Jesus in his character. And when we can do that, you're going to see how your life will just be so filled with the blessings of God. And you know, here's the thing, though. We got to remember, if we keep making the same mistakes over and over and over, because sometimes I'll counsel people and I'll talk with them, but it seems like they're repeating the same mistakes over and over again. They never learn from them. There's going to come a time, you know, God, he wants to give us so many chances. But guess what? If he realizes that we're kind of like at the point where we just want to do it, you know, we just enjoy the sin, we just want to continue to make the same mistakes, he's gonna have to intervene. And just like any good parent, right? When a good parent intervenes, it's what is called discipline. He will allow certain things to happen. He will bring forth something in your life that you're not going to be comfortable. And sometimes, you know, this is not something that, you know, we like to hear. But it's the honest truth. God, sometimes he will bring forth something in your life that you're going to complain even more. You're going to go, really, God? Now this? But we realize it's for our good. You know, in the book of Joel, we find that God's people in the nation of Judah had become very prideful. They become very self-centered. And you know, their hearts had turned away from God, and their hearts had turned to idols. And they just wanted to live a worldly lifestyle. They liked to just be full of drunkenness and you know, have the orgies and all that stuff. And they just started to say, you know what? We just want to do our thing, and we don't want God to have any part in our lives anymore. I mean, that's what it had come down to. And how do you think God felt about this? You think God was grieved? Oh yeah. God, he doesn't look upon, you know, us or even his people in a way where he says, you know what, they want to do that? Okay, I'm going to crush them, you know? Well, God is not like that. But he knows he has to come in and do something so that their hearts can be turned back towards him. He's not going to force them, but sometimes he's going to bring in something that is going to be very uncomfortable. It's more than just uncomfortable. Sometimes it can be very painful. Okay, I want you to look what it says here in Joel 1:1-7. You're going to see what happened here. Okay, so this is the prophet Joel, you know, talking, and these are the very words of God. Okay, listen to this. He says, "Hear this, you leaders of the people. Listen, all who live in the land, in all of your history, has anything like this happened before? Tell your children about it in the years to come, and let your children tell their children. Pass the story down from generation to generation. After the cutting locusts," okay, finished eating the crops, the swarming locusts took what was left. "After them came the hopping locusts, and then the stripping locusts too. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you wine drinkers. All the grapes are ruined, and all your sweet wine is gone." And it tells us in verse 6, "A vast army of locusts has invaded my land, a terrible army too numerous to count. Its teeth are like lion's teeth." Can you imagine a locust, an insect with teeth like the lion's, right? "Its fangs like those of a lioness. It has destroyed my grapevines and ruined my fig trees, stripping their bark and destroying it, leaving the branches white and bare. Despair, all you farmers. Wail, all you vine growers. Weep, because the wheat and barley, all the crops of the field, are ruined. And the grapevines have dried up, and the fig trees have withered. the pomegranate trees, the palm trees, and the apple trees, all the fruit trees have dried up, and the people's joy has dried up with them. Okay, I want you to look what it says here in verse 15. It says, the day of the Lord is what? Near. The day when destruction comes from who? The Almighty. Comes from God. How terrible that day will be. And you got to understand, right, that the locusts are a farmer's worst nightmare. And for them, I mean, this is their livelihood. You know, they don't got any crops. They don't have any abundance of harvest. Guess what? Everyone is going to die eventually, right? Because they got to feed their animals. I mean, this is their livelihood. And guess what? Who's responsible for taking all this away? Well, God says the very fact this destruction comes from him. And sometimes people don't like to hear that. You know, I know like several weeks ago, I talked about the very fact that I said God protects us, that God watches over us, and sometimes he will allow certain things to happen in another person's life. If this person is causing you stress or grief or whatever, God's going to do what he's going to do. He's going to watch over you, and sometimes that person, you know, I don't know, something bad could happen, and you know, it's all in God's hands, right? I remember someone came up to me afterwards at the park, and he asked me this question. So, Pastor Ben, you telling me God can be that mean? He can kill somebody, right? And I remember I kind of paused and I go, what? I kind of started stumbling, you know, because you know, if I say yes, you know, he may think in his mind, well, God is a mean God after all. And I had to kind of think about it. And I said, listen, brother, this is what I want to tell you. You know, God, he doesn't take pleasure in bringing forth terrible things in a person's life. But God, he's Almighty God. And he's going to do what is necessary. But first of all, God's going to look into this person's heart and see if he can turn it around. But if he cannot, just like Pharaoh, remember his heart was hardened, you know, because it was so hardened to the point that God knew he couldn't do anything. Then God will take action. You see what I'm saying here? Because I never want to show to the people, you know, show to the world that God is a mean ogre, you know? That's the last thing we want to do. But we got to let them know that God's going to do what he's going to do so that your heart can be drawn towards him. You see what I'm saying here? And that's very important because we know, right, that the world may think that, you know, God is not for them. They may have had bad experiences, you know, from other believers, and maybe other believers, you know, have said things to them that just kind of made God look like he's so mean, he's so terrible. But, you know, he's not. If you really know God, you know he's such a loving father. He's such an awesome God. And the very fact is, you know, God, he had to bring the locusts upon his own people whom he loved. And everything was ravaged. And say, can you imagine? You ever seen a locust? I mean, it says here that they have teeth like lion. And you just imagine everything is just totally wiped out. I mean, nothing. I mean, all the trees, you know, everything. Because we're talking probably swarm after swarm after swarm of locusts. I mean, just imagine God's bringing this so that, you know, he can draw his people back to him. But here's the thing, I want you to understand. As soon as his people started to have a change of heart, because that's what God is waiting for, is your heart going to change after all this terrible thing has happened? Not that he takes delight in it, he doesn't. He doesn't want to do this. But guess what happened? His people started to think, you know what? I think it's about time we got back on track with Father God. I want you to look what it says here in Joel 2, 25 to 27. I want you to read it with me. Ready? Go. The Lord says, I will what? Give you back what you lost to the swarming locust, to the hopping locust, the stripping locust, a lot of different kinds of locusts, right? Cutting locusts. I wonder what a stripping locust is, you know? Well, I mean, strip, you know, like really just tear it, like barks apart, right? And he says, it was I who sent this great destroying army against you. Okay, who sent it? God did. And you kind of wonder, God would do that? You know, remember, he does things for a reason. It's always not to make your life miserable. He does it so that your life can become better, become more blessed as you start to turn your heart towards him again. I want you to look at verse 26. It says, once again, you will have, what does it say there? All the food you want, and you will praise the Lord your God. And he says, who does these miracles for you? And it says, never again will my people be disgraced. Then you will know that I am among my people Israel, and that I am your Lord, your God, and there is no other. Never again will my people be disgraced. And you can see the heart of Father God. He's saying, I'm not doing this to bully you. I'm not doing this to make you upset at me. Why would God want to do that? No, God's intention is that you will want to come close to him, to him again, because you're going to realize how much you really need him. And you know, many people in the Bible, they overcame a terrible, turbulent past, and they became great and faithful servants to the Lord. It's when their heart started to change, you know, because they realized, I can get this second chance from God. And this time they didn't want to blow it, okay? And so an example of this is Abraham. He was the father of the Hebrew nation. But did you know there was one time that he worshiped idols and other gods? Yeah, we're talking Abraham. The Bible tells us this. And David, the king of Israel, did you know he committed adultery with Bathsheba, right? And guess what? He was called a man after God's own heart. And Paul, he was the great apostle of Jesus Christ. But there was one time, what did he do? He persecuted Christians. He arrested them and had them killed. Can people turn around? Oh, yeah. God can give you a fresh start. God can give you another chance so that, oh, it's going to be so awesome when you start doing it God's way. And although at one time these men lived very ungodly lives, right? They were given another chance, and eventually they became great servants unto God. And guess what? So can we. And we got to learn to forget our past failures, and we got to focus on our future successes, because that's what God will bring. He will only bring success and victory in your life as you continue to do things his way. You know, one day in a city in Idaho, you know, the police stopped this teenage girl that was in her car because there had been complaints, right, of the neighbors that were in that neighborhood, that there was this car that had been seen going around the neighborhood in reverse for some time. It's just like going backwards, okay? And they were going, well, what's up with it? And did they notice that, you know, there was this teenage girl in there? So after the girl was stopped, the girl told the police that her parents had given her permission to use the car, but she had put too much mileage on it. So in her mind, she's thinking, I'll try to unwind some of this mileage. So she's going backwards. Just imagine, just driving, just going backwards for, I don't know, how many hours? Can you imagine that? That's crazy, right? Well, that's what she did. And she's thinking, okay, maybe I can undo some of the mileage. And so here's the thing, brothers and sisters, if God is giving you another chance to get your life right with him, you got to take it. And you got to understand, the only way to unwind all this sinful mileage, because you can say, oh, I've been really doing a lot of bad things, but I know I'm a Christian, but I'm just doing one bad thing of the other. Well, the only way you're going to unwind all this sinful mileage that you have accumulated over the years, right, you got to give your life to him fully now. And you got to say, Lord, my life is all yours. I'm not holding back this time. I mean, it has to come to that, where you're going to say, Lord, I'm all yours. And today you can start a fresh new relationship with God and know that he's going to help you. He's going to see to it that, you know, you're going to have a most blessed life if you really choose to do things his way. I want you to take a look at the bottom line verses now. And, you know, so far we've been talking about how God loves to give second chances and how much he loves to help us to start all over when we need to. Because sometimes, yeah, we got to start all over. You know, whatever area in your life, maybe it's a college education, or maybe it's a new job, or maybe whatever it is, you know, sometimes we got to start all over. And it's okay. As long as you know God is clearly in the picture, you know, he will help you. But let me ask you something here. Is there ever a time in which you think God will not give you a second chance? When is that? Oh, yeah, there you go. Thank you, sister. And let's look at that scripture. Let's read Hebrews 9:27-28. Let's read together. Ready? Go. And just as each person is destined to die, how many times? Once. You only die once, right? And after that comes judgment. So also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, and not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. So we're destined to die once. We're going to die once in this physical body. We do not reincarnate, as some religions believe, right? That you become a cat or a dog or a fish or whatever you want. No. What you believe, according to what the scriptures tell us, right? You only die once in this physical body. And then our spirit, our soul, if you believe in Jesus, we'll spend eternity with God forever and ever and ever. But you got to understand, we're not going to get a second chance. Once you die, that's it. You're either going to God or you're going to be away from God forever. Well, just think about that for a second. Got one shot, one chance. And we cannot blow it. We cannot give excuses. We cannot say, but God, I came really close. You know, I almost made a decision for God. Will God accept that? Almost? No. But, you know, the person, but God, I went to church at least two, maybe three times, you know, in my life. I did go to church, and I kind of paid attention for at least 5 minutes. Does that count for anything? And God says, but do you know my son? That's what God will ask us. Did you really know my son? Because there was a great sacrifice that he did for all of mankind. Did you know him? That's what it comes down to. Do we know Jesus Christ? Because we only got one chance. Once it's done, because can anyone, you know, say with great certainty how long you will live on this planet Earth? No, because sometimes we think we got all the time in the world. Oh, I got like maybe like 60, 70 years. Sometime during that time, I'm sure, you know, my life will be made right with God. No, there's no guarantee. Let me tell you, there's no guarantee. Anything could happen. But we pray that, you know, nothing bad will ever happen to us. But let me tell you, nobody knows. The question is, do you know for certainty where you're going after you pass from this planet Earth? Where are you going? Because, you know, we talked about the locusts, right? The locusts are destroyers. That's what the farmers call them. Because they're destroyers because, guess what? They destroy their livelihood. Yeah. In the same way, you know, these locusts, we can call them that Satan brings forth upon us, these demon spirits, they're trying to destroy our lives. Not just our livelihood, they're trying to destroy our lives because they don't want us to come to know Jesus Christ. They don't want us to draw close to Father God. And you know, when I read this, this is in the book of Revelation, verses 1 to 11. Okay, and now we talk about the judgment of God upon the world. Okay, talk about the seven trumpets and all that. And we're going to be studying it. If you guys want to know more about the book of Revelation, I guys got to tell you, you got to come Wednesday night. I mean, the lessons are so good. But you're going to know everything what you want to know about the book of Revelation if you come Wednesday night. I guarantee it. It's so good. But anyway, we got to understand in this certain chapter, right, it talks about judgment. It talks about the trumpets that are being blown. Oh, and once again, they talk about the locusts. But this time, they're not there to ravage the crops, you know. We got to understand this is at a spiritual level where these demon spirits are these demonized locusts, they're there to create torment upon the souls of those who don't know Jesus Christ. This is how serious we got to take it. And, you know, sometimes people will say, Pastor, just leave out all the stuff that doesn't make you feel good. I go, no, I can't. These are things we need to hear because we may know people that don't know Christ. And this is how serious it has to be taken because this is what's going to happen to people who do not know our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to read it with me. Revelation 9, 1 to 11. Okay, read it with me. Ready? Go. Then the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen to earth from the sky. And he was given the key to the shaft of the what? The bottomless pit. Is there any end to the bottomless pit, by the way? No, there's no bottom. So it's like constant torture, okay? Verse 2. When he opened it, smoke poured out as though from a huge furnace, and the sunlight and air turned dark from the smoke. Okay, look at verse 3 now. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Then locusts came from the smoke and descended on the earth, and they were given power to sting like scorpions. They were told not to harm the grass or the plants of trees, but only the, what does it say there now? Only the people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Okay, I want you to stop right there. This is the time of the tribulation. You got to understand, we're going to be long gone. We're going to be with Jesus already. We're going to be raptured. We're going to be in the presence of God. But these are the people who are still here on planet Earth, okay? And if they didn't have the seal of God on their foreheads, guess what? They're going to be tormented. Because they're going to have a time where they can give their life to Jesus, right? We're going to be gone, but they know if they say yes to God, you know, a lot of them will be beheaded. Okay, let's continue on here. Verse 5. They were told not to kill them, but to what? Torture them for 5 months and with pain like the pain of a scorpion sting. In those days, people will seek death, but will not find it. Imagine, they want to die, but they cannot. And you read this going, whoa, you know, they want to die because of the pain is so intense, but they will not be able to die. And it says they will seek death, but will not be able to find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. Verse 7, the locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. They had what looked like gold crowns on their heads, and their faces looked like human faces. They had hair like woman's hair and teeth like the teeth of a lion. Wow, they wore armor made of iron, and their wings roared like an army of chariots rushing into battle. They had tails that stung like scorpions, and for 5 months they had the power to torment people. Wow, their king is an angel from the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollyon. What? What does it say there? The destroyer. And a lot of people say, is this Satan? No, it doesn't say this is Satan. His name is Abaddon. Okay, just like Satan, you know, that's his name, right? This is Apollyon or Abaddon. No, this is the angel that destroys. It's not even the angel of death. This primary work of the angel is to torment, to destroy, and to torment. Can you imagine this, right? And we know, right? We're never going to see these demonic locusts because these are demonic. This is not just regular insects. These are demonic locusts that will come upon the earth. But we know because our souls belong to Jesus, you got nothing to worry about. We'll never see these locusts. Can I hear an amen to that? You know, can you imagine seeing how it's described here, right? Wow. The teeth of a lion and long hair and all this, right? So, but here's the thing. The grim reality is that if someone never gave their life to Jesus Christ and this person dies, you know, there's no second chance. And I got to tell you, I know a lot of pastors, they shy away from, you know, talking about this at the pulpit. But I got to tell you, I'll be honest with you. I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to talk about this, you know, because I know I've done this before. But the Lord says, man, my people need to hear it. Because there has to be a sense of urgency because sometimes we think, oh, we got all the time in the world. No, we don't. And we only got one crack at it, one chance. And we cannot, you know, think that once it's all been done and, you know, let's say we pass from this planet Earth thinking that we can get a second chance. No, that second chance will never come. That's why we got to take it with great urgency and just, you know, pray for the people that, you know, or people that you love that don't know Christ. And pray that God will touch their heart and that they will come to know Jesus Christ. Because this is what we believe. These are the scriptures that tell us what we should take heed about. And this is serious stuff. Amen? And we're gonna know God is going to be the one to help us. I want you to read this last scripture here in Psalm 34:17. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. The righteous cry out, and the Lord what? Hears them. He delivers them from all of their troubles. And we are righteous in the eyes of God because we made a decision for his son, Jesus Christ. We accepted him. We believe in him. So you know what? When we know that we know people that don't know Christ yet, we just cry out, you know, to God for them. That's what we do, because they're not going to cry out to God, but we cry out for them. And we ask God that God would touch their heart and that they will realize they only got one chance here on this planet. God will give us many chances. We fail, we mess up, God will give us many chances to start anew. But we realize when it concerns our spirituality, no, we only got one chance. But God will deliver you from all of your troubles, whether it be your earthly problems or your spiritual problems. God knows. But I want to say this, though. You realize that, yeah, you know, you if you kind of think back of all the things that you have done wrong, all the mistakes you made, the things you said that may have hurt people, let me ask you, do you think you could come up with a pretty long list? I know I could, you know, I'm sure I know I would come up with a pretty long list, I tell you. But the fact is, right, we know God can help you start again. And the fact is, you know, we can't make like that girl who drove her car backwards in reverse. Just imagine, if we, okay, from this point forward, okay, God says, I'm going to undo everything if you just walk backwards and just go back and try to fix everything. If you go backwards and you fix that and backwards and you keep going backwards, would that do it? No. What will do it is a life that is fully devoted to God. I'd like to close with this video. I want you to watch it, and it really tells us the very fact is the only way we can undo things, right, is we need Jesus. Benson, can you go ahead and play that, please? Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You are new, my brothers and sisters. You have the image of Christ upon you because you gave your heart to him. Amen? And no matter what mistakes you made in your past, it's okay. You know, the fact is we all make mistakes because, like they say, we're human. But the fact is, right, God wants us to start a new life with him and say our lives belong to him. Because if we can do that, you know, God will bless you in every way. And God, he loves us so much, he will see to it that your life is filled with one blessing after the other because you choose to live a life devoted to him. so we can know that God's power is there to help us to start over again when it needs to have a new beginning, right? It's okay. Don't panic. Don't, you know, get all like bent out of shape, because some people do, right? When they realize, I got to start over again. It's okay. As long as this time you make sure God is your first and foremost, this time around, it'll be all good. Amen? You're going to be so blessed. Why don't we go ahead and let's bow our heads, let's bow our hearts, let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the message spoken today. And Father, we thank you, Lord, knowing that truly our hearts belong to you. And Father, I pray, Father, as some of us may need a new start, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we will not panic, we will not get anxious, but Father, we're just going to fix our eyes upon you. And Father, we know it'll be even better than what it was before if we can entrust our lives totally into your hands. And right now, if that's your prayer, if that's your heart, you're saying, Lord, I know I have made some mistakes in the past, but Father, I want to see that my life will only get better and better. As I know, Lord, if I need a fresh new start, will you help me? That you will show to me what I need to do so that I can see to it that my life will be blessed in every way, because your hand will always be there to guide me, to direct me, and give me all that I need. If that's your heart's cry, you're saying, yes, Lord, that is me, that, Lord, from this day forward, I'm going to live my life fully devoted to you. That, Lord, I know, I trust in you. No matter what happens in my life, I know, Father, you will always take care of me. If this is your heart's cry, you're saying, Lord, help me to become more the person you want me to be. Can you just raise your hand right now and say, that's me, so I can pray for you. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you see now the hands that were raised. But most importantly, it's the very hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, no ways, but your way alone. I'm trusting in you, Father. I pray as these are my brothers and sisters' cries from their heart, Father, I pray you will truly take over and you're going to help them live a life full of blessings. You're going to help them to live the abundant life that you have promised them and for me. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray all of these things. And all my brothers and sisters say together, amen. Let's all stand. Let's give God glory.